banks in Europe and Japan are paying negative interest in a bid to jumpstart their economies.
If I look at what's happened in Sweden, if I look at what's happened in Japan following the negative interest rates, across the board, I would say that central bankers have been trying to tell a story that the market just hasn't bought into.
And that's the conundrum, is that you have to buy something, or you should buy something.
Bank of England's aggressive stimulus plan helping stocks extend their gains.
Job market's fine. Job growth has slowed from where we were a year ago, 2 years ago. So underlying job growth, abstracting from the ups and downs in the data, is about 150 to 200K, which is good.
Jobs are looking good. Today's number was a great number on the face of it. Yet the whole business sector is looking poorly. CapEx has been falling for well over a year, and so have profits. So there's a conundrum here. There's a paradox.
I think these numbers for the last number of months are just weird.
We're going to a state where growth is going to be slow for a long time, and as a result, consumers are not eager to spend. Firms are not eager to invest, and that slows down further the recovery. So demand is weak because the future is not exciting.
This is the Financial Sense News Hour. Now, here's the Financial Sense News team, Jim Poplava and John Loeffler.
Well, just when you think things were looking dismal, well, the economics do a flip-flop. On this Friday, the unemployment numbers came in. The unemployment rate stayed steady at 4.9%, but jobs created came in at 255,000 jobs created. Gold dropped on the anticipation, well, gosh, these better economic numbers mean the Fed is more likely to raise interest rates soon. Hi, everyone. I'm Jim Poplavin. Welcome to this week's edition of the Financial Sense News Hour. Coming up in Hour 1, Louise Yamada will be joining us. And as she said, you know, one of the most important things for any technician is price. And it's the technician's creed. When price no longer looks like the price for a reason which one bought or sold, one has to shift opinions to follow price. Otherwise, it's the biggest mistake. You'll want to hear what Louise has to say about the stock markets. I think it's going to be a rather surprise for all of you. She'll be joining me. Mark Chandler will be here. We'll be talking about the dollar, where it's going, what central banks are doing. The Bank of England cut interest rates a quarter of a point this week and announced quantitative easing. This time they're borrowing corporate bonds. They're also going to be making negative interest rate loans to banks, encouraging them to lend credit. All of that is coming up, as well as Ryan Poplava here to comment on what moved the markets this week in Hour 1.
And I'm John Loeffler. You know, last week the markets were very surprised when the GDP for the second quarter came in just a hair over 1% instead of the much touted 2.6% that everyone had expected. Economists had it wrong. The Federal Reserve had it wrong. And the question is, why are so many people getting it wrong? It could be we're moving into a switch here, and a lot of people haven't grappled with the new rules. The world is out in territory that we haven't seen before, and a lot of flags are up indicating that we might be turning down into a recession, but the pickup on that is very, very slow in the markets, and the consumers don't seem to be concerned about that either. That'll be the first part of the big picture today. And financial repression has now gone global. As I said, we're out in historic territory. We're looking at events that the world either hasn't seen or we haven't seen in thousands of years, especially negative interest rates in Europe and Japan, possibly coming to where we are in the United States. We are definitely in uncharted territory. So if we look at changes that they are underway, what is driving this? Because the markets seem to be operating under distortions, looking more towards what government is doing rather than operating on the fundamentals. As we said, new and uncharted territory. And finally, after a long period of doldrums and flopping around, everybody's talking up gold again. It doesn't have a PE ratio, it doesn't have an interest rate or a dividend yield, but everybody's bullish on it anyway. So why is that when it doesn't have a return? All of that under discussion today for the big picture as part of the Financial Sense News Hour. Well, Ryan, I can state the obvious. It is August, and in August, for most news work, you know, Congress isn't in session. That means everybody can breathe a big sigh of relief because things are safe for a month anyway. We say, well, it's going to be a slow news month, but I kid you not, How many August months have we seen over the years where all of a sudden the market takes a dive and, of course, the panic ensues? It did that last year when Jim and I were away on vacation. What do you think? Is this August going to be different, or is it just going to be the same old, same old?
Yeah, statistically, it is not a great month for the markets. Neither is September and October, but it's funny. We've got an inside joke here, John. Every time Jim goes, he does his little sometimes monthly, weekly vacation in August, and the markets go down. So we kind of have correlated to his little vacation. So we told him, you know, take it easy this year. You know, interesting that you should say that, because it's so funny. At the beginning of the week, Goldman Sachs and Jeffrey Gundlach, head of Dubline Capital, both said to really bunker down in their own way. You know, Gundlach in an interview said sell everything, citing expensive valuations. And Goldman basically said the same thing, but he said they're downgrading stocks to underweight. That just means, you know, if your portfolio says I should be 50% in stocks, then they're saying, hey, go a little bit below that. Valuations are stretched here, as we've had, you know, a few quarters of declining earnings if we base on earnings estimates for 2016. But, you know, surprise or no surprise versus the street, the trend has been down. But it's also about now that analysts start comparing stock prices to 2017 earnings. And I don't know how, but they just do, with us looking at 2016 earnings with a grain of salt. But they just do. They start looking at 2017. And those expectations, as of course, they're higher. Kind of reminds me of the last time we dealt with valuations in the late 90s, when we were in what they called the new normal and valuations didn't matter. Valuations, of course, still matter. That's what Gundlach is saying. That's what maybe Goldman Sachs is saying. And that's why I think the market has been consolidating since mid-July. But it appears with more central bank stimulus this week and just a strong U.S. jobs report that the market may be exiting this two-week consolidation in favor of higher highs. I mean, that's what happened on Friday. We closed higher.
That's true. You know, I'd heard there were some rate cuts, and I think Japan finally formalized an official stimulus package. But you did say the market really didn't move on those things until the jobs report, right?
Yeah, that's true. The story I'm hearing from a couple of trading desks is that the Japanese will be introducing about 28 trillion yen. That's roughly about 276 billion US dollars as a fiscal package, but it doesn't contain enough direct government spending. If you look at spending from their fiscal programs, a lot of it is like, here, we're going to credit you some loans and this and that, but not enough. Hey, here's picks and axes. We're going to do some infrastructure build out here. It's really not enough, they're saying. It's really a small amount. Most of the headlines I read were smaller than it looks. Same old thing. Will it work? So a lot of doubt. So it definitely did not help the stock markets, both overseas and here. Another problem, John, that some are citing, that this just adds to the debt to GDP and doesn't really fruitfully add to GDP. This is just going to add more debt than growth. So that definitely looks like the case given the programs they're looking to create. So definitely, market was underwhelmed. And yes, the Bank of England did drop rates a quarter of a point, which was largely expected. So if the market expects it, it's not going to move off the news up or down. And if you remember from the last meeting, which we said they had intended, they didn't cut rates in July, but they dangled the August cut little carrot out there. So the two things that were not expected that they did follow through with this month was they stated they will increase the government bond purchase program to 60 billion pounds. And they introduced a new facility here, about a 10 billion pound monthly purchase of corporate bonds. So that's new, doing the whole government bonds in addition to corporate bonds now. The S&P futures did respond to that, moved up a small amount, up like 6 points in the futures market before our market opened up Thursday morning. But really, no, you're right. The jobs report on Friday was the big catalyst. The S&P 500 closed up 18.6 points. And that was the most influential news item I could really tell you about this week.
Well, okay, but the non-farm payrolls report for July showed 255,000 additional jobs, and how come that wasn't too strong a point to knock the rate futures off their rocker? I mean, it's, but usually the bears would poo-poo such a strong number, stating that the Fed will have to raise rates sooner now. I mean, as in a good number is bad? Is that what we're hearing here?
Well, finally, John, you know, a good number is producing good results in the markets, and that's what I appreciate. I'm glad that's happening. It was actually viewed as a solid print that confirms the growth we saw in June. It was really, when we looked at May alone, it looked like a real outlier. Job growth that was, I forget, was it like 24,000 jobs compared to the average that we were seeing long before that, which was much higher. I think the average now is around like 190,000. In May, that little drop was a concern, you know, when we were talking about it on the show. And then June came out with a huge number. And then we had to look at that in doubt as well. We had these huge gyrations in jobs reports, getting us another solid print here for July's job creations. That kind of affirms that, okay, we're on solid ground with the job creation. You know, things have bounced back considerably, but before that, the trend was down. So we looked at that, and we looked at the details to see, okay, what else is here? Was it too much, or is there something else here that would be interesting to see? And the hourly earnings were up around 0.3% compared to a 0.1% increase in June. So that was another really great component that we saw in the jobs report here on Friday. And I think the market really responded positively to that. The unemployment rate stayed around 4.9%. The participation did tick up a little bit, but not greatly. Earlier in the week, we saw some great inflation numbers. They weren't too high, and great spending numbers. We saw some real spending increase. So spending up, hourly earnings up, so that consumers can afford it, or they can feel comfortable about spending more. The only concerns on the economic front that we saw this week were China's official Purchasing Managers Index data figures for July, which were down very, very slightly to 49.9 from 50. 50 is the line in the sand at which we calculate expansion or contraction. Any number below 50 would be contraction. So it's right on the border. But interestingly, there's another number that comes out that kind of gives us an idea of what's going on in China as a whole. And that's another different private PMI reading number, which really is focused on smaller businesses as opposed to the large businesses that the Chinese official PMI really focuses on. And that number actually, for the small businesses, went up to 50.6 from 48.6 in June. So overall, a great week in economic reports. And as I've mentioned, John, all summer long, we've had fairly positively good economic numbers. The May jobs report was the only outlier, it seems.
Okay, Arun Poplava, back to the Fed talk this week. Let's change the spotlight here. Some of the FOMC talking jaw heads said that the market's too complacent over the rates, given financial markets, that they've stabilized from the Brexit instability and from Brexit talks. And now we've had two solid job prints. So what do you think?
Well, I looked at the Fed futures data on Friday. And if we were looking at it on Thursday, the probability of December hike was right around 29%. At the end of the day on Friday, 39%. So a quarter point hike in December is right now roughly around 40%. Most of the time that we see rates actually go up, you would want to see that probability really skyrocket before a policy decision date, and we've typically have seen that. But just to give you an idea of how influential the jobs report number was, a pretty decent increase in that probability based on the market's interpretation. So, you know, with that, bank stocks, we want to look at, how does this influence everything? How do investors react to this? Today, bank stocks got a real big boost. Treasury prices dropped, yields went up, and gold went down about 2%. So I guess if we're talking about FOMC talkers here, Fed President Lockhart gave some indications of what he felt was appropriate. He's not